FM dial and WGDQ 93.1 on the FM dial, and has been gifted for excellence in the broadcasting for over 50 years. We, the staff and management of Circuit Broadcasting LLC, recognize the life and legacy of the late Mr. Vernon C. Floyd.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heartbeat of the Hub, WJMG 92.1 on your FM dial. It is now time for Stage, Style, and Steady, featuring Michael Marks.
Good evening, Pine Belt. Happy lunch hour to you, and welcome to another edition of Stage, Style, and Steady, celebrating 52 years of circuit broadcasting and in association with Mississippi's first African-American-owned radio station. Stage, Style, and Steady airs live on Fridays at noon on WJMG 92.1, and the show is streamed at cbsllc.live, and you'll find us on Facebook at WJMG 92.1 FM, Southeast Mississippi. We are excited today to have our studio guest, Rosie Drone Butler, and she closes out our wonderful series of dialogues of what I call strong Black women who have helped us to celebrate the National Black History Month theme of Black health and wellness. Rosie, and first of all, Rosie, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Michael.
How are you? Good afternoon to you. First of all, let me congratulate you because you are a recent inductee into the Hattiesburg Hall of Fame. And of course, folks around these parts know that we celebrate the achievements and accomplishments of folks who have gone through public schools here in Hattiesburg. So congratulations to you on that.
Thank you so much. Well, it is such an honor.
Well, we're delighted to have you with us. Now, you've accrued tremendous honors outside of that. You are a master fundraiser, and I know that all of the work that you have done at the University of Alabama, at Birmingham and in Houston, raising money for research and for all of the things connected to liver cancer. Rosie, tell us a little bit about your philanthropy in general and how you got started in that business.
Well, it's truly been remarkable how I got started with this. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with my son, my youngest son, who ended up getting a liver disease at birth and didn't get the three shots, that our initial shot when he was born to protect him from hepatitis B. And during that time, I was facing death, and I thought, okay, I can either give in, or I can decide to do something. And especially when so many people were reaching out with their own stories of what they were going through. So you have to decide, is it about you, or is it about your walk in life and what you are meant to do? So I founded the chapter of American Liver Foundation in Birmingham, Alabama. And this was in 1990. It was something that was much needed at the time. And realizing just how little information it was out there about liver disease, the different liver diseases, and educating the medical community as well. So I got started with that, and it was amazing because the first meeting we ever had, we had the mayor show up. We had heads of banks, companies that showed up for a breakfast, and I could not have done it if it hadn't been for the founder of Central Bank, which was BBVA Compass, Harry Brock, and D. Paul Jones. They were my benefactors. And from that, I served on a national board, helped to implement a law with great politicians at the time, who helped to make certain that there was a law in the books that said all children, all babies born, had to be immunized against hepatitis B. And that was extremely important to me to do that. And even in the midst of the time that I was facing death. So it kind of started from that, Michael. And that's how it all began. And once, after 15 years with American Liver Foundation in Alabama, closed the chapter, and UAB Liver Center asked me to come and start a fundraiser there. And from there, helping with that, and we'll talk about that more, went to Children's of Alabama. Mike Warren, who was the head of the hospital, told me, along with Coke Matthews and Andrea Martin, that they were going to, in the new hospital, have a transplant center for children. And I actually said no. And I'd said, no, I will not do it. I'm retired from this. I'm going to take some time off. But when you have a calling on your life, you can't stop. You just have to keep going. And at the time they called me, I was actually fighting cancer, breast cancer at the time. So nothing's just ever been able to stop me from helping others. But well, I'm blessed for it.
Well, and we love that about you. Now, and to be fair, over the last 30 years, you, your fundraising has led to over $22 million as you have become a force in fundraising in Birmingham, Alabama, and in Texas. And I know that there are people that will remember you as well as we shift gears a little bit from your fundraising efforts. I can remember coming to Southern Miss as a freshman in 1974 and going to the Ebony Fashion Fair. And I know that you were a model for Ebony Fashion Fair, and you had strong connections with even Milton Waldorf, who is still here in this community, and we celebrate his accomplishments as well. Tell us a little bit about that. That sounds like fun.
It was fun. You know, I love my hometown. I love Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And I had participated in a lot of pageants when I was there. And Milton Waldorf saw a picture in the newspaper, got in touch with my mother, had her bring me in. And immediately when I walked through the door and saw these pink boxes on his desk, I knew what they were. But I was in high school and my mother said, no, she can't, you know, do this. She can't come to work for you. But Milton was willing to wait until I was done. And I was then hired, which it was really kind of a strained moment because at the time, minorities were not actually allowed into luxury stores like that. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of hard to figure out how I was going to do that and sell cosmetics to African-American women. But I did. And Milton was, he did everything to make me welcome, and all the people that were coming into the store. And we sold so much Fashion Fair. I was the first person to sell Fashion Fair in Mississippi when it started. It was only a year old. And we sold so much of it that Mr. Johnson himself called me and said, I'm going to pull you out. I just need you to stay for at least one more year. And then Milton Waldorf moved to Cloverleaf Mall, and the McRae's decided to build a store as well in Cloverleaf Mall. So Mr. McRae Sr. and Jr. came down from Jackson to Hattiesburg and asked to meet with me. And when they did, I'm thinking, I'm just this kid. But here I'm sitting in this room with these two powerful people, and they're saying, we want you to come work for us and sell Fashion Fair in that grave. And we need to make certain you have people around you that can help you. That was a valuable lesson for me as well, because it started me to understanding you can't do it all on your own and be successful. You have to surround yourself with bright and intelligent people, and you don't have to know it all. So when they told me that I was allowed to hire someone to work with me, I actually thought of my school teacher, his wife. Her name is Katie Smith. And I asked Katie if she would come in and talk with me. And I hired Katie. So Katie ended up working for about 30 years for Fashion Fair after I left, and stayed at McRae's. And I think that's where she retired from, or she might still be with them. I don't know.
How exciting. And so good things continue to stem from your hometown. You have had your brush throughout life with lots of celebrities. You mentioned that you testified before Congress to help pass legislation for children. I know that you were in partnership with Coach Tom Landry when you testified before Congress. You have done fundraisers with the country music songwriter of the decade, Craig Wiseman, who is another Hattiesburg Hall of Fame inductee. And you have also done fundraisers with Laura Bush, our former first lady of our country. And I guess I'm saying all of that is what I appreciate is your humble spirit. You have always had the attitude that you should let fame find you rather than to seek it. And so in spite of all of the celebrities that you have come in contact with, that has not been your mantra. That's not been your lead-in. It has been about the work. Tell me a little bit about how faith and religion have helped to buoy your life.
It's truly remarkable, Michael, and it's something that I share with everyone, because I love God and I love Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I have fought through life and death issues for so long, you know, most of my life. And you understand that you're on this planet and it's not about you exactly. It's about what you are sent here to do. And when you realize the importance of that and what you bring to the table, and surrounding yourself with so many amazing individuals like Tom Landry. I mean, Tom and I ended up being friends. I could call him and say, I needed footballs for a silent auction. He would pack up stuff, jerseys and things, and send them to me. And gosh, it was just amazing to me how I just had this attitude of, I never heard no. I heard if someone said no, I heard maybe not now, maybe later. So I've always had that, even with Laura Bush. You know, I was told initially that she probably would not agree to come. So I wrote a letter, and I wanted her to know. You know, I testified before the United States Congress with Tom Landry, and GlaxoSmithKline was the sponsor for that. And for benefiting the American Liver Foundation and getting funding. So when I did that and told my story about myself and my youngest son, it really touched the politicians, and they wanted to do everything they could to help. And they actually reached out to me. And one of those individuals that was so touched by the story was Senator Howell Heflin from Alabama. He's now deceased, but he was such a dear friend of mine, along with Paul Hubbard, who was the AEA secretary and one of the most powerful individuals in Alabama outside of the governor. And without these individuals and crossing paths with so many amazing people, you have to have that spirit of, it's not about you, but it's about what you can do to empower others and help them along the way, because so many people are suffering. And if I stop and just think of my own suffering and what I'm going through, I can't be effective. And I go through my own. But you have to think about how the work you're doing is going to impact someone else. And I truly believe that's why I'm still here on this earth today.
Well, you are serving a useful purpose and such an inspiration to the next generation. You know, I learn something from you every time I talk to you. Paul Hubbard was executive director of the Alabama Education Association at the same time that I was executive director of the Mississippi Association of Education. So we were good friends.
Wow.
Yes. What a small world. And I know that my younger brother, Dr. Robert Marks, who is over in Hoover, Alabama, that you guys have mutual acquaintances at UAB too. So it is such a small world. So you have been grounded in faith and religion, and that's such a powerful incentive for the next generation. You and I have often talked about kids growing up too fast. I call it 13 going on 30, like the movie. Tell me a little bit about how important it is for us to mentor the next generation and for kids to take example from elders who are in their lives.
I can tell you, Michael, it's extremely important. I don't think the emphasis are put on our children like it should be today. People are more concerned about things, status. When if you coming up during the time I was coming up, I came up poor. I was poor. I didn't know I was poor at the time, but I was. And, you know, I grew up picking cotton in Mississippi. It's a humbling experience to go through those things that I went through as a child. But what I had was a lot of love from family. You know, my family was just my base, my foundation of where I was able to pull from. My mother, her prayers, her powerful words, the seeds she sowed, my grandmother's sitting on the front porch shelling peas and whatever needed to be done, washing clothes the old-fashioned way. Everybody worked as a team. Everybody worked together. And you sat around listening to the stories. And one of the things that my grandparents and my mother, the seeds they sowed was, we're all God's children. And we all have to sow into each other. It doesn't matter what color you are, where you came from. You have to sow into each other. And if you sow into the younger ones, you keep building on that foundation. And somewhere along the line, along the way, it just ceased to exist. And our children, our young people started getting out there, getting in trouble because they had no one to guide them. They didn't have that foundation to pull from. And it's just really sad for me today to see that and know that from an educational standpoint, they need that to be able to grow and be productive in life and society, be able to give back. Doesn't mean they have to go to college, but it does mean you have to make certain you give them the opportunity to be able to succeed in life so that even though it may not have worked for you, or maybe it didn't happen the way you wanted it to, but if you take the time to sit down with your children and talk to them, tell them the stories of the past so that they won't repeat it in their future. Talk with them about the path that they want to go and how they can get there. But you got to start that. The very basic of the foundation is to bring them to the Lord. You have to tell them who the Lord is, what he's about, who is God, who is Jesus, why is he your Lord and Savior? What does this mean to you in your life? And once you do that and you empower that child, instead of leaving them out there to the frills and frays of the world, empower them so that they know better. And it doesn't mean that they won't stumble or fall, but it will show them how to get up with a bit of grace and be able to succeed in life and go on, whatever that is. My grandfather used to always tell me as a child when we were working in the fields, he would say, Marie, whatever you do, he said, it's like a ditch digger. If you dig that ditch, dig it so well that you won't need to tell someone that you dug that ditch. Mm-hmm. They'll know that it was you. And I think that's what's missing today, because it was ingrained in me that no one was going to give me anything. I had to work hard for it. And I had a boss in Mr. John H. Johnson that was very, very tough. you know, he was a tough boss. So, and I worked for him for most of my young adult life. So I had great people to sow those seeds in me that I was able to then translate and sow into my own children. My sons are two wonderful individuals that I actually admire. I admire them for all the things that they've gone through, and life hasn't been easy for them, but they've been able to maintain because of the foundation that they grew from. And I think that's what's most important is I tell them every day. I don't miss a day telling my children I love them. And I always tell them, if something ever happened, you know that I've sown the seeds in you to continue with your own children and to be able to do those things. I think that's just important because we are not on this earth for no reason. We are here for a reason, and we are to empower others around us, not to selfishly keep that to yourself.
Well, you are absolutely right in that regard, and your examples that you have given through faith and family, I think would serve well as a foundation for the next generation. And it is so important. I laughed when you said, you know, you'd been in the field picking cotton. People don't know that you actually pick cotton in Collins, Mississippi. And we've got a fan base there. So shout out to Covington County. But it proves that you can come from humble beginnings. I think too many times this generation thinks that the world owes them something and that you should be handed success on a platter. And to me, the best successes are earned.
Michael, I'll tell you this. It's amazing because oftentimes when I talk, especially to young people, and they'll go, Miss Butler, you don't understand. You live a life and you don't know what it's like to struggle. And sometimes I tell them, growing up, as you mentioned, Collins, Mississippi, in a little community called Friendship in mm-hmm. Collins. And it was amazing because many days my great-grandfather would take a shoestring out of my shoe, cut it, and put holes in the bottom of the shoe sole and take the shoestring and tie it to keep the shoes from flapping on my feet. And it was amazing because one day I was sitting with my mother and I started to cry because I said, I went from this to runways, to sold out crowds, to be performing in fashion shows that was the best experience of my life. And, you know, to have that kind of opportunity, it was the grace of God. It was the grace of God. It's living the life that he asked you, not perfect by no stretch of the imagination, but you live a life that someone else would want to be a part of that and emulate it. So that's extremely important to me, to be able to show young people that you can do the same thing. It doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter how your life is now, doesn't mean you're going to arrive there at the end. It's what you put into it. It's what you're going to get out of it. If you put nothing into your life, you get nothing. But you have to be willing to invest that time and effort and energy into something positive instead of all the negative things that might be going on around you.
You are absolutely
right. It's just extremely important to do. And I wanted to go back for just a moment because with the liver part, working with, I don't know if you're going to mention this or not, or maybe I'm getting ahead, I need to wait, but I definitely want to talk about the liver disease part
and the fund at UAB for sure.
Yes, yes.
Before we move to that, though, that was my next article. I keep being amazed at the connections between us. Now, you mentioned the friendship community in Collins. My college yes. roommate was Robert McGee, and he lived in the friendship community of Collins, Mississippi. And many a day, I would go and visit his mom, Alice Weary, and have Sunday dinner with him. And it is just amazing. The connections.
Oh, my God.
I just,
oh my goodness, Michael.
I know.
I say my neighbor, but you know, my grandfather, my great grandfather, he owned so much land. And the McGee, Robert's dad, they bought a plot of land for my grandfather.
Oh my goodness.
So all these people in the community around there in Friendship knew our family because my great grandfather was the minister of Friendship Baptist Church, which we, you know, grew up in the church. You were at church every day. So that was remarkable. But I loved the McGee family. And Reverend McGee, he was the pastor at Friendship Baptist Church. Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. We know some of the same people.
I know. What a small world. I always say 6 degrees of separation.
Small world.
So yes. Let's talk a little bit then specifically about the Rosie M. Butler Endowed Support Fund for Viral Hepatitis. And I know that this is a fund that has been established in your name at the University of Alabama at Birmingham in their, you know, world-renowned history. Tell us a little bit about that fund, why you established it, about your work there, and then we'll tell folks how they can potentially contribute to your ongoing work and research.
Well, I'll tell you this, because it kind of leads into where I am today and the wonderful people I get to, I'll say this and then I'll end it with that. The wonderful people I get to be around is people like Dr. Joe Gulati. He is like the rock star of liver here in Houston, Texas, in Texas, period. And I get to be around him and his phenomenal staff because he's my liver doc. And they do so much great work here in Houston with the liver specialists of Texas and with Houston Methodist Transplantation, which Dr. Gulati is one of the main people there. He's the director. And it warms my heart when I see people doing so much in the area of liver today, because as far as we've come, we still have so much further to go. And go back to UAB, when I was raising money for them, and for the liver center, and it was successful from day one. And I've always said everything I've ever done has been successful because God has always guided me with what I'm doing. If I don't feel it's something, if I pray about it and it doesn't feel right, I don't do it. I just won't do it. I don't care what it is. But with UAB, I knew I had to go and help because they helped my youngest son when he was fighting to live. He was near death, and I knew I had to give back. What I didn't know was that they were going to surprise me at one of the fundraisers with the endowment, the endowed fund. I have felt
incredible.
So honored by that, and with the funds that has been raised for that endowed fund. And Brennan, Dr. Joseph Bloomer was the head of the Liver Center at the time. He has since passed away recently. And now Dr. Brennan McGuire is the head of the Liver Center with the most amazing liver docs who are doing exceptional work for the residents of Alabama and surrounding areas from Mississippi as well, Tennessee, Georgia, Louisiana. They all come to UAB Liver Center to get care. And this endowed fund enables them to be able to do the work that they need to help that patient base. And that's with research, education, awareness, getting new fellows, physicians to come on board to help to elevate that liver center to do better as they move forward. And that's why I try to encourage people to donate to the endowed fund. It's the Rosie M. Butler Endowed Fund. And it's extremely important that we continue that work. But I'm also trying to do work here in Houston, Texas. when I can to expand on that, to make sure that people know the services that are available to them.
Well, you have raised over $22 million in the last 30 years, and it looks like you're kind of like me. Retirement does not agree with you, and I know that you've been under the weather, and I appreciate you making time in your busy schedule to be on our show today, because you are, as I say, you are a strong Black woman, and the notion of Black health and wellness is certainly personified in your work in this capacity. So this is an opportunity for your hometown here in Hattiesburg and for people in general who love other people to be able to contribute to the Rosie M. Butler Endowed Support Fund for Viral Hepatitis. And I know that people can email, they can email gifts at uab.edu, that's gifts at uab.edu, or they can call 205-934-7242. That's 205-934-7242, and they will hook you up with a link and a connection to the Rosie M. Butler Endowed Support Fund, and that would be a very good thing to do. We're so proud of our hometown champion who has done just yeoman's work on the national front in this regard. Let me pause to make a couple of announcements here, Rosie, and you'll be proud, because on March the 3rd, that's Thursday of next week at 5 p.m., we will have a ribbon cutting here in Hattiesburg to unveil the historic restoration of the Smith Drug Company. I'm not sure if you remember it, but I call it Hattiesburg's Tulsa and Greenwood of Oklahoma fame. But that whole corridor in Hattiesburg was such an economic foundation for the city. And I love the fact that Hattiesburg is championing those historic places and bringing them back as show places where everybody can visit, and visiting our Freedom Summer Trail. We are embracing our past, but determined not to dwell in it, but to build on it as a future. So again, the ribbon cutting for the Smith Drug Company, where they will unveil the historic restoration, is March the 3rd at 5 p.m. That's at 606 Mobile Street. And also, of course, isn't that great?
I think this is such a wonderful way to honor Dr. Smith.
Absolutely.
A wonderful way. Dr. Smith was married to my great cousin, and I got to know him a lot. He and Dr. Jones, just some phenomenal individuals in Hattiesburg. I'm just always amazed at the talent that comes out of Hattiesburg and the wonderful individuals that are there. And I think this is important too, because there are so many individuals who are not taking care of their health and not getting the kind of information, education that they need to be able to be in good health, and especially liver health.
Yes.
Fatty liver disease, like COVID, alcoholic liver disease. There's just so many things that's not being done. And we need great individuals to continue to expand on that, and especially in rural areas of Mississippi outside of Hattiesburg. But you've got so many medical entities there and wonderful physicians. I just hope someone will take up the mantle and be able to help, and especially in the minority community, the mm-hmm. Black and brown community.
Absolutely.
There's just a lot of disparities and health disparities amongst them. And I'd like to see those individuals who are empowered to step up to the plate and help them to do better. It was really mind-blowing for me to find out so many in Hattiesburg had not even been vaccinated against this horrible pandemic virus, COVID. And I just love to see someone step up and do more. But to see that drugstore ribbon cutting, I think that is awesome.
That's wonderful.
It is.
This has been such a wonderful month with the dialogues that have been sponsored by WJMG in celebration of Black history. We've spoken with folks from the Institute for the Advancement of Minority Health. We've talked to folks from the National Education Association, from the National School Board Association. All are concerned with Black health and wellness, as are you in general, and with everybody's health. I also want to mention to the Pine Belt that NAMI, our mental health agency, will be sponsoring an online discussion with panelists Brenda Young, Angela Singletary, and Rita Green on Tuesday, March the 1st at 6 p.m. So look for NAMI, and they will be discussing women, wellness, and mental health. The other thing that I wanted to mention, because it's so near and dear to my heart, March the 4th is National Speech and Debate Education Day. And so with all of the wonderful programs that we have here in the Pine Belt, the Oak Grove, Petal, Hattiesburg, Sacred Heart, all of these folks have competitive teams, and they really have led the nation in many regards. So March 4th is National Speech and Debate Education Day. So hug a debater and know that an investment in the ability to speak and articulate it is an investment in your child's future. Rosie Drone, look, you have been a shining example. You serve as a national coordinator for several New York Times best-selling authors. You have been connected with the Birmingham Festival of Arts. What is it that you don't do?
Well, it was just one, and it was for Dan Gatsby and B. Smith, famous restaurateur, and my Ebony Fashion Fair sister. They invited me to their home in the Hamptons in New York and asked me if I would be their national coordinator. And I can tell you that was truly, I worked for them, I served, but it was truly an honor to be able to do that for Dan and B. And then with the Birmingham Festival of Arts, that's where my fundraising actually started.
How about that?
Being a part of that international festival and working there when I moved to Birmingham. So it's been a journey, one that I am eternally grateful for. It's really something I couldn't have possibly seen after the career that I had, which was already such a stellar career. And then to be able to do something to give back. And for 30 years, I volunteered. For 30 years.
Yes.
And I tell people all the time, yes, you can. You can do this. And it wasn't just a matter of volunteering. I always told everyone on my board or committees that I've had, I donated as well. You cannot ask donors to give if you don't give.
Mm-hmm.
So that was extremely important, was to give back into the community that sowed seeds into me and my children, my family.
You're absolutely right. And you've always got time to help others. I love that.
That's
and I'm asking our public to donate to the Rosie M. Butler Endowed Support Fund at UAB. And I'm asking because I have already donated. So I love
yes,
you don't can. Ask people to do what you haven't done. You can call 205-934-7242 or email gifts@uab.edu. Hattiesburg yes. Hall of Fame
and
inductee
you,
Rosie Butler, thank you for making time to be with us today. We appreciate your mentorship and we appreciate your philanthropy.
Thank you so much. This has been a pleasure. God bless all of you in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
You too.
My hometown, you have my heart.
Thank you so much. All right, so you've been listening to another edition of Stage Style and Study today with Rosie M. Butler. We're celebrating 52 years of circuit broadcasting in association with Mississippi's first African-American-owned radio station. Stage Style and Study airs live on Fridays at noon on WJMG 92.1, and we're live streamed at cbsllc.live. You'll find us on Facebook at WJMG 92.1 FM Southeast Mississippi. So again, this has been another edition of Stage Style and Study.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Stage, Style, and Study featuring Michael Marks right here on WJMG 92.1 FM.